Couple passages I'd like to read this morning. I didn't know it was Father's Day. I thought Father's Day was last week. So I made my kids celebrate it. I found out it was this week. But I'd like to read just a couple of verses. In Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And then in Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28, Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered them, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." Let's pray. Father, we want to again just thank you for what we shared just earlier, how we shared your son with you. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you that as our Father, you've been good to us. You've been gracious to us. And we want to give you our thanks back. And this morning, we want to ask that you would be able to speak your heart to us in a full way. Lord, we're not asking for a teaching. We're just asking you that you would have freedom to speak to us as father to children, as father to son, and be glorified and draw us out to you through your word. We're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a real nice canned message for you this morning till about 6 o'clock. I was on the West Coast on Memorial Day, and I was going to share, one of the messages I had brought that I thought maybe that was what the Lord wanted. And I just couldn't get through, wondering why. I said, I think that's a pretty good message. And the Lord kind of was saying to me, "No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to share what I showed you." And so I don't know how this is going to go, because I've got these really great notes. But I'm going to go with what I think the Lord wants. When I was speaking in San Diego, I was really caught by this verse in Luke in chapter 2, and I think it's verse 49. And it says, Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And I made that the theme of the ministry I gave in San Diego. And, you know, you go to speak to other people, and then you find out that the Lord's really speaking to you. And so this is what I just want to share, all right? The phrase that really caught me in this verse was, did you not know? Did you not know? Now, we might think, well, what's so interesting about that? I think if you look at the person that it was spoken to the one who gave our Lord birth, and one who knew what God's purpose was for him. And this is like, he's 12 years, been living with her for 12 years. And I think that with all these things that she knew, she didn't know. And he had to tell her, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And it made me really think. You know, I've been, in August, it'll be 35 years since I asked the Lord to forgive my sins and to take me into His kingdom. That's a long time, 35 years. Twice some of your guys' age. But I know a lot of stuff. I know a lot. I've been a lot of conferences. But I didn't know that the one who lives in me must be about his Father's business. I'm not saying that I, in a sense, but the Spirit of the one who lives in me, this is his Spirit who is speaking, says, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? I think that Mary, you know, a Jewish man kind of didn't leave home till he's about 30 years old. And I think that Mary might have thought to herself that, you know, I've got 18 years left before he goes out and starts his ministry. 18 years of me and him, of relationship with me and him. How glorious. I mean, you think about that, just even with ourselves, an intimate relationship with the Lord, just him and I, or you and he. And yet, the life that was in him said, no, I must be about my Father's business. I'm not your life. I mean, I'm not yours. I'm my Father's. And it just started to make me think about what is it that God desires from me? What is it that He really wants from me? And I've been having some real problems lately. And not things that you have to go, well, what's going on with you? No. Problems, struggling with what the Lord wants for my life. And I felt a lot like, like I'm just a big talking head. You know what I mean? I mean, all there is once in a while I come out and speak, and you guys don't see me again. And it's really been bothering me. So, I started to say, oh, Lord, what do you want? What do you want from me? What are you desiring? What is the purpose you have for me? Now, I bring that up because when I was first searching, the thing that brought me to the Lord was I was seeking for purpose for life. Why am I here? Is it just that we're here and we die and that's it? That can't be it. That's a God who loves can't be like that. Make you for nothing. There must be a reason. And so there must be a purpose. And so I started looking about, the Father says, be about my business. And I started thinking, well, what's God's business? Jesus was a carpenter. Maybe he wants me to be a carpenter. But, part of the Lord's business is this. The Lord wants to make himself known. The Lord wants to save and redeem. That's part of what his business is. He wants to rule in our lives as well as in the earth. And he wants to keep what is his. There's a verse in John, I think chapter 6, he says, where Jesus says, and this is the will of God, that I lose nothing of what he gave me. So that's part of his business, to keep that. And so in a sense, I know that the Lord wants, service, but we can get on to service and go, well, we just do things. I'll teach a Bible study. I'll do a youth group. I'll do something like that. But you know something? That's not apart from everything else. I mean, the Lord doesn't deal with saying, Jim, I saved you to teach a Bible study. The Lord is not so mercenary as to do something like that. So what is he after? What is he after? And that's my dilemma. And so I think I found out. And it hurts me because I've fallen short. And I'll tell you what the Lord wants, or what he's been showing me. I'm sorry. He wants a whole offering. He wants a whole offering. Let me explain what I mean. Okay? And I'm using this. Please don't. We get in these places where we think, we we use words and all of a sudden they become catchphrases and every, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. Okay, you know what I mean? But I'm using this because I have no other way to explain what a whole offering is. I'm not talking about a sacrifice. But, you know, those who serve the Lord and serve them wholly, they were called servants. For example, Moses is my servant. Okay? He's faithful in all my house. The Lord Jesus in Isaiah prophetically was called my servant. And Peter and Paul in their letters, they always talk about, they started out Paul or Peter, a bondservant. Now I want to just check that little word bondservant, and I'm not saying, hey, we gotta be bondservants. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But I just want to look at this just for a moment. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, there's the first mention of a bondservant. Exodus. That's right. There we go. In Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6, it says, "But if the servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." And the parallel passage to that is in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And verse 16, starting there, it says, "And if it happens that he says to you, 'I will not go away from you,' because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also, your female servant shall do likewise." I want to bring this up because I think there are three things that go to a whole offering that God wants. And the first thing, this guy would never be a bondservant. This guy would have never done this if he had not loved the master. And I want you to understand that it's not he loves him out of himself, that he chose to set his love upon this master and then serve him. That's not the case. The case is he was loved first. And it's a response to the one who's his master. It's a responding love to this one. And so you could say in this sense, for a whole offering, the Lord wants our affection. Notice I didn't say our heart. I wanted to say affection. Because I think affection speaks of warmth and life that goes with the heart. It's not just a, here's my heart, you know. It's the emotion, the feeling that goes with it. You know, this was the first command. Even though we read that passage in Mark, what's the greatest command? That you shall love the Lord your God. But notice what it says. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It starts with the heart. But it doesn't finish there. But the Lord definitely says to us, I want your heart. Now I want to just preface this in this way. When I started reading this passage about be about my Father's business, I saw it as a call, not a demand, but as a call. As if the Lord was saying, you know, those who can hear me, I want you to be about my Father's business. I want you to respond to what you hear. And there was another call in chapter 35 of Genesis. Jacob was called. Now you go, well, wait a minute. I thought Jacob got the blessing way back in chapter 28. Well, yeah, he did. But he lived years. And the Lord called him again. And you know, Jacob knew something about the Lord. He had gleaned something. You know, first when God introduced himself to Jacob, he introduced him, I'm the God of your fathers. And Jacob understood that. But that's all he knew him as. And later on we can read that he calls him the fear of Isaac, because that's all he knew him as. The fear of Isaac. But later on we come to see that he knows him as his own. And he found out something about God in his walking, in his sojourning. And his sojourning wasn't the greatest sojourn. If you read from the time he left Peniel when he met Esau until chapter 35, it's only a couple chapters, but it's miserable. I mean, he's going the wrong way. He's in the land, but he's going the wrong way. And what's interesting is the Lord calls him again. And the Lord doesn't say, Jacob, you've really blown it. You need to get back on the shtick. Come on, let's get happening again. No, when the Lord calls him, all he says is this, I want you to go back to Bethel and build an altar. That's all he says. I want you to go back. Go back to where you met me and build an altar. And you know what how Jacob responded? The first thing he did was he told everybody, you got to get rid of your idols. Now, why am I saying this? Because where do idols reside? They reside here. They reside in your heart. And we might say, well, you know, I don't have like little statues or anything like that. What do you mean I got idols? And you've heard that, you know, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. I want to amend that. Anything you want more than fellowship with God is an idol. Anything you want, whether it be good or bad, you know, not all idols, you could say, are what we would consider bad things. You know, could be your kids, could be your job, could be your spouse. Could even be what you do here in fellowship. The thing is, Jacob knew. Because he knew God was holy. And it's not that in the sense that, you know, God just says, I don't want you to have any idols. Because I'm God, you can't have any idols. It's because God wholly loved Jacob. And because he wholly loves Jacob, he wants to be wholly loved. That's it. He wants a response. I love you wholly. Love me wholly in return. I've given myself completely to you. Give yourself completely to me and your affections in your affections, love me as I have loved you. Isn't that what the Lord said? So Jacob went out and got rid of his idols. And I just want to say this, you know, don't go out with flashlights looking for stuff. Because, you know, idols are quite obvious. They're quite obvious. They won't have to be, really, just pulled out. Now, some of them, as you get further and further on with the Lord, there will. But let me tell you one thing about the Lord. The Lord is so gracious. The Lord is so gracious when He deals with you and He's after your affections. First of all, He wants to show you the irreality of idols. I'll give you an example. I know some of you guys know the Pikes, Floyd's son-in-law and daughter. Okay, Jeannie Pike, when we were little kids, there was a TV show. It was called Sheriff John. It's one of those early cartoon shows where it was live. This is before they had tape. Okay, so everything was live. And on Sheriff John, he did a birthday song. Put another candle on your birthday cake. I don't know if you had it back east, you know. It's an L.A. thing. And you watched every day, and they had someone else for their birthday. They invited people, you know, people would write in, they invited them. And Jeannie Pike got to go on the show. And she was stoked because when you saw the show, you saw these buildings, you know, where the sheriff came out and everything, these prizes and everything. And she was really stoked. And then she got to the set, and it was all facade. The buildings were just plywood with backing. And she was so disappointed that it wasn't real. You know? The Lord wants to save us from that, from giving ourselves to something that's not real. And I want to give you an example from my own life. You know that I once aspired to be a basketball player. And the Lord was very gentle with me. And I'll do it in this way. When I went and I played on this touring team, the Lord couldn't shake it from me. This is what I wanted. I mean, my affection was in there. I loved basketball. I felt I could do so many good things for the Lord. What a witness if people could see me out front being a Christian. While I played basketball. What a witness. And so he said, okay, Jim, here's your opportunity. And I got out there and it was facade. It was crummy. It was like, you ever seen something that looks really good and you bite into it and it's almost all air? That's what it was like. It was so disappointing. But it was at that very time that the Lord spoke to my heart in many ways. But I remember one time we were on an airplane going from Australia to New Zealand. And the Lord spoke in my heart and He just said, it's not all it's cracked up to be, is it? And I said, no. He continued to say, you're mine now. I have you. And I will not let you go. And your life will never be the same now. And that's true. Because He won't let go. Because He wants your affection. how gracious he is. And I'm not saying, you know, it's because I stood up and said, you know, I love the Lord more than basketball, because I didn't. I love basketball a lot more than I love the Lord. But the Lord had to show me, in comparison, it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's air. Nothing more than that. You know, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? And the Lord had to say to me, what if I was asking you that question? What would the these be if I asked you that? How will you answer me? What are they, Jim? And then he seemed to say, you know, whatever you love has got to be touched. It's got to be touched to show you what's real and what's not. I mean, even Jacob, when he gave up all his idols, he still had one, and that was Benjamin. And the Lord said, I got to touch it. I got to touch that thing that you love more than me, so that it takes its place. We have a sign here that says that he may be preeminent. It's also in our own hearts. I mean, no rival, was it no rival throne? No other love? I want a whole offering. It starts with your affections. Now, another part that he wants is he wants our ear. You might say, well, that's really weird. Why an ear? What do your ears do? They hear. See, the Lord wants not just our affection. He wants our attention. And I don't mean like a got your attention, didn't I? But he wants us to recognize when he's talking to us. You know, the person that says went over and gave him his ear. That's an interesting thing. It says he gave him his ear. And in the same way, we're to give the Lord our ears. And yes, that does mean we read the Bible and we study the Bible. And we read it not just for study, but we read it to know him. You know? Sometimes I don't think we think about that. We read it to know him. It tells us who he is. But it also says in Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8, it says, my ear you have dug. In other words, if we give him our ear, he'll dig it. Now, not dig it in the way that he'll like it. But in other words, he'll speak to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's not that it'll just give us understanding of what the Word is. I mean, that's why we have Bible studies. We go to Bible studies and things. But there'll be those times when we have that still small voice that speaks to us because we have the Word hidden in our heart. He's dug our ear. And we respond to that. We respond to that rhema. You know, the Lord is after our ears. But that's not the only thing he's after. And I know I'm not saying this, I'm not taking a long time on this. But you know, it is not enough for him to have our heart and our ears. And brothers and sisters, this is where I stop. It is okay for me to say, Lord, deal with my idols. Okay, I can deal with that. And it's okay to say, Lord, have my ear. And I'll go to conferences, and I'll go to meetings, and I'll hear ministry. But then he says this, and this goes in connection. Thank you, brother. With that verse from Psalm 40. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, Therefore, when he, being the Lord, came into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure, but I said, Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And brothers and sisters, here is where the rub hit me. It's not enough for the ear and the heart. It's a whole offering. He wants our body. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, man, but I've been thinking about this. What do you mean, Lord, you want my body? Well, you know, how can you obey what you hear without your body? Think about that. How can you obey? If you do not give him your body, it's like Paul says, you know, is the body just an ear? And the Lord is saying, I don't want ears. Yeah, I want to have your ear, but the ear is not enough. Your heart is not enough. I want the whole thing. I want the whole offering. I want your body. If you look at Romans 12, and we've read this so many times that, you know, it bugs, you can quote it, even though you can see I'm having trouble quoting it right here. But if you look at Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your heart a living sacrifice. It doesn't say that, does it? That you present your ear a living, no, it says present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or is your intelligent service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to tell you the new revelation I've gotten out of this. I have always thought that this is talking about reading the Word and meditating on the Word and being transformed in that way. You know, I don't think it is anymore. I think that the way that we're transformed is when we hear the word to spoken to us and we obey it. It's then that we find out that the will of God is good, not just for God, but for me. That the will of God is perfect, not just for God, but for me. That the will of God is acceptable, not just to God, but to me. But I have to have my thinking transformed, but my thinking cannot be transformed unless I go out and do what the Lord tells me to do and see that it is right. That's exactly what fulfills me. That's exactly the thing that I should be doing. If we don't give our bodies, we're half an offering. And yet at the same time, we just can't give our bodies without giving our hearts. You know, it's easy just to go through motions and say, I'm going to do this and this and this for the Lord, but our heart's far from Him. Or not to give them our ears. I'll do what I think is right. But we don't hear it from the Lord. You know, we've been called into this relationship. Any works we do that does not come out of this relationship has no eternal value. None whatsoever. You can feed the poor, but if the Lord hasn't told you to feed the poor, it's no eternal value. Those people are going to live and they're going to die. But if the Lord's told you to do it, then His blessing is upon it, and He has something in it that is eternal. And maybe that eternal thing is, it might be just for you. Just to make you move out in faith and find out that God is true. I think so much we think that God is true just by reading things. But it wasn't like that. If you read in Genesis, they found out that God was true by obeying what He told them to do. Go out into the land which you've never known before. Well, that sounds good. Okay, I believe that. I believe if I go out, you'll do that. No, Abraham went out. Offer up your only son. Well, I don't think that God will really kill him. I think what He'll do is He'll give him back to me. He'll find a ram. No. He had to go out and do that and believe that God would raise him up. You know, it's not just books. It's life. God wants life, not knowledge. And life comes from our giving our bodies to Him, giving our hearts to Him, giving our ears to Him, so that we find out that these things are true. You know, sometimes I think I've had a generic God. He's come in plain wrap. He's just God. You know, that's a word that can be sometimes just so vague. You know? But He would be known. He would be known by a name. Didn't He reveal Himself as the God of glory? Didn't He reveal Himself to Abraham as El Shaddai? You know, He revealed Himself to Jacob, if you read Genesis chapter 49, the shepherd and the stone of Israel. In other words, he found out that, you know, even though he was wandering around, the Lord was there guiding him. You know, to Moses, I am. To Paul, Lord. He wants to be known. He wants to reveal Himself by a name to you. He wants to be that personal God, because if He's not that personal God to you, how can you ever give Him affection? Now, why is this all coming about, you know? It's not, you know, the time may be short. But whether the time is short or not, these are our only days. These are the only ones we have. We've already burnt the bridges behind us. I mean, everything, the ropes burned behind us. These are the only days we have left. Whether the Lord tarries for 100 years or not, that doesn't matter. What matters is today. And the Lord says today, I want a whole offering. Now, if you're like me, you've come to the place and saying, God, I failed miserably. And you want to give it all at once. And you know, I want so bad to do that. And every time I try and do something like that, I find out that I'm me. I'm an Indian giver. I take back. But you know something? Jacob started out a 10%er. When Jacob met God and God spoke to him, he said, you know, if you'll do this and this for me, I'll give you 10%. It's good business. Yeah. You know, I think we want to give it all, and we should say, Lord, I want to give it all, but I just don't trust myself. But I'm willing to give it all if you'll be patient with me. Now, here's the encouragement. When did a bondservant become a bondservant? It wasn't at the beginning. He didn't decide at the very beginning saying, I love you, Master. I'm going to serve you forever. But I'll tell you what was the beginning of his becoming a bondservant. He was in debt. He was in debt. Brothers and sisters, are you in debt? Are you in debt to the Lord? Then you're a candidate for bond service. You're a candidate for a whole offering. And you know, that person was in the care of his master for 6 years before he made a decision and said, my experience of you has been such that how can I leave you? How can I go out on my own when I've been cared for so by you? How can I not give you my affection for what you've done for me? How can I not give you my heart? How can I not give you my ear? How can I not give you my service for the rest of my life? But brothers and sisters, that doesn't come until we start experiencing him in our own life and seeing that he is that way. We want it over right now. It's a process. And that's the hard thing, isn't it? That's just the hardest thing in the world. Process. I hate process. It's slow. It's tedious. It's successful. You hear that? It's successful. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord is saying to me, come to me with all that you owe. You owe me. Come. Just come and serve me like you are. And let me reveal myself to you. Not in a book. Not in just a ministry. But in real life. I want you to touch me. I want you to see that I'm real. Because brothers and sisters, if he's not real, what's going to happen when the floodgates open? What? You know, our witness, brothers and sisters, isn't in our words. They're in our lives. Words without a life behind them are nothing. But life behind words is a witness. So brothers and sisters, I'm sorry if I hope I haven't brought you down, but I just want to say this, that you know, I'm going to leave. I want to read a hymn. It's not in our book. This time I checked. But this is a wonderful song. And it was written by, I think it was a sister named Booth. I'm not sure if it's a sister or a brother. But I want to leave you with this hymn. And this is how it starts. It goes, Let me, me being the writer, let me love thee. Thou art claiming every feeling of my soul. Let that love and power prevailing render thee my life and my all. For life's burdens, they're easy, and life's sorrows lose their sting if they're carried, Lord, to please thee. If their pain, thy smile should win. Let me love thee. Come revealing all thy love has done for me. Help my heart so unbelieving by the sight of Calvary. Let me see thy love despising all the shame my sins have brought, by thy torments realizing what a price my pardon bought. Let me love thee. I'm gladdest when I'm loving thee the best, for in sunshine or in sadness I can find in thee a rest. But without thee, life is fading. Treasureless, its choicest flowers, taken are its gifts eternal, left its empty passing hours. Let me love thee. Love is mighty, swaying realms of deed and thought. By it I shall walk uprightly, and I shall serve thee as I ought. Love will soften every sorrow, love will lighten every care. Love unquestioning will follow. Love will triumph, love will dare. Now, I want to just change that a little bit. You know, this person is singing about the love that we could have for the Lord that could triumph and dare and do those things. But you know, his love has already triumphed in us, for us. And we have to stand on that. You see, we're given two legs. One is to stand on what he's done. Okay? And one is to stand on what he's doing. So, you know, it's to be about our Father's business. That's what he wants. But let's do it in a way that it's a whole offering and not just part. Let's pray. Lord, forgive me for stammering and not being clear, but Lord, I just pray if your heart's desire has gone out, I pray that that would be the thing that wins the day. Father, I pray that you would awaken our hearts afresh, not to demands, but first just to your love for us and then your great desire for us, that we would know you as you are, that we would know you is real, and that, Lord, you would win our hearts. Lord, that's all we can ask. Win our hearts. We want to be one. Or the hymn person that said, that wrote, make me a captive, Lord, and then I will be free. Oh, Lord, we pray today. Capture our hearts for yourself. But, Lord, don't just stop with our hearts. Lord, we pray for our ears and our bodies. Lord, especially our bodies. We're so unwilling to give them to you. But Lord, you paid for all of it. You paid for us all. You paid for every part of us, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, we would give ourselves to you and ask, Lord, that you would take us up on the offer and bring us to the place that we come to the door. And let you have your way. We ask this in thy name.